Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners, and we are so glad to have you today. I feel so blessed to have some exciting guests for us today. First of all, we want to welcome you to Soul in the City, where we inspire and empower you to be all that God created to be. Today, our guests are the anointed pastors of World Covenant International Church, which, by the way, that's my church, and they are awesome teachers, preachers, prayer warriors, prophets. They are just awesome, and today we will be talking about the power of the spoken word and the power of prayer. We would like you to tune in because out of this program, it will be an introduction, and we will hopefully have a couple of follow-ups and a couple of shows to follow to really go into this because this is a very broad subject. Our call-in number is 760-695-1120, and I'm going to say that again. That's 760-695-1120, and we invite you to call in with questions. These are powerful teachers, and I'm really looking forward to it. So we're going to open up, since we're talking about prayer, by asking Pastor Patricia to open it up in prayer so that we can bless the airwaves and our listeners. Pastor Patricia?
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you today, and we thank you so much for this opportunity to share your word and to give understanding and revelation about the power of the spoken word and about prayer. And we thank you for all of those that are listening right now, their homes and families, and those that will be calling in today. And we give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you honor in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. And I just want to say thank you and welcome. We just know and hope and pray that you will be guests again. And we're going to go right on into it. Pastor Mark, words are so powerful. And I think sometimes as individuals, we are disconnected to the power of the words we speak. Can you elaborate more on this?
Well, in Proverbs, I believe the 23rd chapter, it says that as we think, what we are. Growing up, that's my paraphrase, but as we think, that's how we are. And oftentimes, what we think is based on words that we've heard, whether from the news broadcast or from the pulpit or our friends or whoever we happen to allow to speak into our lives. And the impact on words, the best example I can give is an individual that I'll just say an individual that is a parent and they're talking to a child and the only thing that they say to that child is that you're an idiot. You'll never amount to anything. Or you're going to be just like your mother or you're going to be just like your father. And that child hears that continuously and they grow up with that image and they tend to think that I'm going to be just like my mom. I'm going to be just like my dad. And those words were seeded into them. And so the outcome is primarily what they have. They do end up being like so-and-so. They do end up being like their mom or their dad because those were the words that were sown in their lives. But it's important to know that, you know, in the Word of God in Psalms 139, I believe, the Word of God says that when you were yet in your mother's womb, before you had your first day, before you took your first breath, I knew you. I developed you. It says the same thing in Jeremiah 29, I believe, in the book of Jeremiah, where it says, before you were born, I called you to be a prophet. And first chapter of Jeremiah. And you have to be mindful that God knows us. He is the one that gives life. And because he gives life, he's already got our lives planned out. In Jeremiah's case, he called him to be a prophet. We each have a calling on our lives, whether it's in the ministry of helps, whether it's, you know, pastor, preacher, whatever. Or just simply being a good parent. That is a calling in itself, being a good mom, being a good dad, being a good provider. Whatever your calling is, God already has it laid out, and he's already got it manifested. And so the only way for you to know what words to believe and what words to take full measure in is in the Word of God. I like to put it like this. You can take the word of someone that's known you all your life, or you can take the word of someone that gave you life.
And Pastor Tricia, do you have anything else you want to add to that?
Well, yes, adding on to that, also in Proverbs 18 and 21, it tells us that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And one thing that the Lord had showed me is that it's not what you see that can hurt you, it's what you don't see. And you don't see words, but when you're speaking them, they're out there. And if they're negative words, they're going to hurt. Another thing that comes to mind is that people used to say this, and we've all heard it before, sticks and stones will break my bones, or words will never harm me. Oh, that's a lie. Words hurt. I'm telling you, they hurt. They can hurt to the core. And I think, as my husband was saying, sometimes even as parents, you say things sometimes to your children, even out of frustration and things like that. And when you do that, words are seed. They are seed. And your heart is the ground. So when words are going in, the seeds are going in, and they continue to go in, those seeds are being nurtured by more negative words and more negative words. So that's why it's so imperative that we do, even as adults, watch what we're saying, what we're speaking in the atmosphere. Because, again, words are seeds. And the words that you're saying, they are building something. And you want to know what you're building. In other words, just think about when you speak these words out, it's a foundation that's being done. And then you're going to do the mortar. Then you're going to do the brick. And then you're going to do the mortar. And then you look up and you're going to see this edifice. And you're going to wonder, that's not what I wanted. But yet, that is what you have said.
Wow. And that is so powerful and so true. And it rings true in my spirit. How do you feel God intended for his children to use words that we create in order to frame our environment? How do you feel that God wanted us to use words to help us frame our environment and our life?
I think about this scripture. I think about that we are, first of all, in Genesis, images. We are in the image of God our Father. And he spoke creative words. And if we are truly his children, then we are to imitate him. And see, it says that the world, the earth, was without form, or boy, it was dark. And yet he spoke light. He spoke what he wanted to be. And so therefore, you know, the world that we're around, or the circumference that we're in, we want to speak creative words to frame our world. We want to do that. We want to frame it. And again, I go back to sometimes the things that are around us, we have framed through our words. But here's the key that I've learned, that if you speak or say something that's contrary to what you want or desire, you can actually just say, you know what, crop failure on that. Because I don't want that. I change. No. Crop failure. Because you don't really want that. You don't want your world to be like what you're saying. And so I believe that God is saying, hey, do like I did. And the scripture tells us to call those things that be not as though they were. So in other words, if there's trouble around you, don't keep talking about the trouble. It doesn't mean you deny it. But you want to find scripture that is going to change that trouble into peace, change that sickness into healing. So I believe that God is wanting us to do just like he did and say words that are going to create and not devastate and destroy.
Now, Pastor Mark, do you want to add on to that?
To add on to that, you know, going back to what my wife was saying, we frame our world by the words that we speak. And if there is something in our lives that we are not happy about, we're not good about, we're not pleased with, then we need to find in the Word of God a word to change that, because the Word of God is life. There is life in the Word of God, and so therefore when we speak the Word of God, we are speaking life. In John 1:1 it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was from God." Therefore, because the world began, before the beginning actually began, there was the Word. And because the Word was before the beginning, when God spoke, He had everything lined up. He had everything set aside. He had everything planned out. Going back to what my wife was saying in regards to Genesis, said that the Spirit of the Lord hovered or brooded over the deep, over the waters. Now, you have to understand that the world was covered with water. It wasn't just water and land. It was covered with water. So the Spirit of God enveloped or brooded over the water. And I looked up the word brood, and brood means to contemplate, almost to the point of worry, almost to the point where there is such great concern. Now, we know that God doesn't worry, but He has a lot of meditation. He meditated fully on what He wanted the earth to be like. And so He meditated, then He spoke. And oftentimes we just speak off the top of our head and don't give a whole lot of thought to what we're saying. And that's why a lot of times we have negative harvests, because we speak before we think.
And on that note, honey, the scripture here in Hebrews 11:3 tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So again, you have to ask yourself, you have to look around where you are in your world and see what words framed that world, and then go ahead and find the word of God to go ahead and tear that world down that was framed by words, a word curses, like you said earlier, people speaking things over your life, and they did it in ignorance. I think a lot of times people do things and they don't think anything about it, they don't mean any harm. But when you learn, see, that's when we become accountable. You know, for a while you can say, well, my mama didn't do this or my dad didn't do that, but hey, then there comes a time of accountability where you can find out for sure what's what. So then we want to tear those worlds down that are negative or confusion and then frame them the right way.
Amen. I'm just getting, feeling the spirit and getting so much knowledge here. But, you know, call in. This is awesome what we're getting. I'm so God is here. He's moving. The guest call-in number is 760-695-1120. And I'm also inviting you that when my Facebook friends, when you listen to this program, tag in and spread it, because this is powerful word we're receiving, life-changing word, and let somebody else enjoy this message. So when you tag into the Facebook, tag it to a friend and send it to a friend. We're going to go on to the next question. Praise God for what we've already got. Pastor Patricia, you are an anointed prophet and intercessor. Can you explain this and tell us about prayer and how that connects us to the spirit realm?
Okay, prayer, my favorite. Ooh, okay. First of all, let's just make it really simple. Like, what is prayer? Prayer is really communication with our Heavenly Father. It goes back to relationship. And what we want to do is move from religion and move to relationship. And religion tells us that God is out there somewhere, out there. But when you move into relationship, you begin to realize that He sits on the throne of your heart. So prayer, very simply, is just communication with the Father. And it tells us in Luke 18:1 that men ought to always pray and not faint. And faint means, of course, cave in, give up, and quit. And another thing that I'm finding out, again, going to the basics, is that a lot of people haven't been taught how to pray, because you'll hear people say, I don't get answers to my prayers, and I don't understand why. But there's a way to pray. I don't want to say a technique, but you've got to make sure that, first of all, whatever you are praying, it lines up with the will of the Father.
Amen.
And the only way you're going to find out if it's the will of the Father is to get in the Word. And so, therefore, and when you're praying, it opens up. It's not just going to Him to pray about a situation or a problem, or what it's communing with Him. It's finding out His heart and what He thinks about things. We know that God is in control. We understand that. But you know what? We want to find out the actual heart of God, our Father. What is on His mind today? What is it He would like for us to pray, or who He would like us to pray for? As far as intercession, for example, intercession is a type of praying which everybody should do, which is basically, you know what it is? Praying for someone else. It's just that simple. People make it hard. Interceding is just bridging the gap for someone else. And the way that I like to explain it is like this. When you get a prayer request of someone who may be going through something, maybe their son or daughter may be in prison or jail or on drugs or whatever it may be, and they ask you to pray, you don't pull out no simple, now we lay me down to sleep. You want to pray for that child as if it was your own child. And that's what intercession is about. And in the scripture, it tells us in Hebrews that Jesus himself now lives to ever make intercession for us. So he is on the right hand of the Father right now interceding for us. And again, if we're going to be imitators of the anointed one, of Christ, then we're to pray also. We're to pray for one another. So when you get into intercession, a scripture in Romans 8, which sometimes has been misunderstood, in Romans 8, it's talking about prayer. Romans 8, and I believe it starts at verse 26, and it's talking about the Holy Spirit praying through us, the intercessions and the will of God. It's talking about how we may not know naturally, radio audience, we may not know naturally what all to pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And so, therefore, we're not hitting and missing. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we're able to go into a place of prayer where we're making sure that every stone is unturned and all details are done. Intercession, some people say, well, I'm not called to intercede. You're called to pray. If you're a born-again believer, you're called to pray. And if you have the heart and the compassion of Jesus, then you're going to desire to want to pray for somebody else. You're not going to always want to go to the Father about yourself. You're going to want to go for somebody else. You should want to go for someone else. So that's what intercession is about, and there are different levels of intercession, which we'll probably get in at another time, but we just want to make sure. And one thing about intercession is this, praying for others. You have the love of God. It helps cultivate even more the love of God according to Romans that's already been shed in your heart. Believe me, when you start praying for someone else more than yourself, that love is cultivating and increasing the more and more in your life.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And that was found and touched my spirit. I'm going to introduce my co-host, Ms. Tanisha Reynolds, and she would like to ask some questions also to the pastor.
Hey,
good afternoon, audience. I was just wanting to ask Pastor Mark in particular, Pastor Patricia, that was really profound what you said about intercession and prayer. And as a member of World Covenant, we often speak faith confessions and are taught to speak those confessions into our lives. And so we do it pretty much every Sunday. So I want to ask Pastor Mark to expand on why that is such a part of our church, and just to expand on what confessions are and how they should work in our lives?
Well, it goes back to the first question that I was asked. How important are words? Basically is what you're asking. How important are words? And we are constantly bombarded with words, whether from the news media. Right now they've got hurricane going on, so they're constantly talking about, oh, the devastation and this and the other that they're expecting out of the hurricane come about. Or you've got the news bombarding you about this terrorist attack or potential terrorist attack. And so we're constantly being bombarded by negative words. But there is nothing negative in the Word of God. Bottom line is the Word of God says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Now, the purpose of us making confessions, like my wife made mention of in regards to negative words and crops, the words that we continuously speak, whether we receive these words or we've spoken them out of our own mouth, we're going to reap a harvest from those things. So if it works in the negative, it works also in the positive. So when we declare over our lives that I am the head and not the tail, I am blessed and I'm not cursed, I am above and not beneath, we are declaring these things and we are changing our mindset. Like I said, our mind has been adjusted and attuned to everything else but the Word of God. So when someone says, yes, my father, and so immediately you go, okay, I thought your father was dead 10 years ago. No, I mean my heavenly father. So that's a mental adjustment. It's like, oh, you're talking about your heavenly father. And then sometimes people want to fight against that saying, your father? I thought he was God. Well, religion will tell you that he is God. And oftentimes when we have this mindset, we think of God way off in the distance. But when you say my father or my daddy, that makes him very personal. That makes him right here. And he wants us to have a father-son, father-daughter relationship, and a good one, regardless of what we may have had from our natural father. Our heavenly father wants us to have a good relationship. And the only way to have a good relationship is to know what he thinks about you. Irregardless of what my natural father may have thought about me, whether good or bad, my heavenly father is always thinking good about me. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of good, thoughts to bring you to an expected end. So therefore, if we get our mind aligned to what God thinks about us, that helps us with our own, that helps us with our own self-evaluation, how we think of ourselves. It goes back to what I said earlier. Are you going to believe the word of someone that's known you all your life, or are you going to believe the word of someone that gave you life? And he gave you life with an expected end, thoughts of good, to bless you.
I think that another thing to answer Ms. Tanisha's question about confession or why we do it at World Covenant and why prayer is important is again opening your mouth and speaking out what God has said, what he wants. That's what he expects of us. And I think a lot of times, to be honest, we have sat by and not said anything. Mm-hmm. And whether you realize it or not, you agreeing with something even though you don't say something. Okay? So if you're in a situation and you're hearing a conversation, and it could be a negative comment or whatever, you know, and you're not voicing, you're not saying anything, but you need to speak up. And I think sometimes, again, not saying anything, not confessing anything, and, you know, thoughts are going to come to your mind, but the Bible tells us to cast down every vain imagination. But if you don't cast it down, the thought sits there, and it sits there. And what else happens? That thought will begin to take on another thought.
Mm.
And that takes on another thought. So in confession, what we're doing is, number one, we're setting the atmosphere for the Spirit of God to move in our services. But this is not just the church. We have taught to do confessions at home. And you know what? My question, what is confession? What you're doing is really saying the Word of God. That's it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You
are.
You are. That's it.
To me, I'm kind of going off, but it promotes a relationship with God. And since I've been coming to World Covenant and what we do and what I'm taught, not that I didn't have a relationship with God, but what I'm finding is that my relationship with God is more profound. Like, I know that I've made that connection with the Father, and so I can just go to Him, and I see Him as Father, which is another level for me of experiencing God. I was going to say also, as a believer, the hardest time to keep your thoughts positive and keep your words positive is when you're going through. And it's easy. It's a lot easier when life is going well to stay at that upper level. However, when you're going through, it gets more challenging. And so I just want to give ask you guys to give the listeners, and we've already been doing it, talking about prayer and intercession, but the word says, let this mind be in you that's in Christ. So what are the practical tools that even when my circumstances may not look as positive, what are the practical tools that I can use to change my words and change my thoughts and just kind of a toolkit? What would you give me or say these are the tools to get the mind of Christ?
You know, I would find in the Word about your situation. You know, if you're dealing with a loved one, I would look in the Word of God for relationships. If it's in regards to work, or if it's in regards to money, I would look in the Word for those things. In Jeremiah, it says, I am the teacher of prophets. Is that right?
Isaiah.
Thank you, Isaiah. In Isaiah, it says, I am the teacher of prophet. But in Joshua, it says that I will teach you how to prophet. So if he is the teacher, if he's the one that's going to show you, if he's the one that's going to teach you how to prophet, the Word of God also says, I will bless whatever you put your hands to. So therefore, when you get that into your mindset, when you get that into your, when you begin to confess that, Father, you know, right now, I don't have a job, or right now, I'm needing some added finances. But your word says that you will teach me how to prosper. You said whatever I put my hands to will prosper. So therefore, I'm stepping out on this with your word, and I am beginning to confess your word over this situation, that I am the head and not the tail, that I am above and not beneath. I am the lender, not the borrower.
I think also, I want to go back real quick before I tag in on this last question. You know, in the scriptures, just to show you again, in Matthew 6, it's saying, you know, Jesus is teaching them how to pray. And check this out. He didn't say, our God, which art in heaven. He said, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. So that right there, Jesus, yes, the Son of God, but he's talking relationship. He's making him like, hey, our Father, which art in heaven. So I wanted to go back to that. But also, Sister Tanisha, you were saying that about the mind of Christ and what you're going through. Okay, let's keep it real right here. Okay. When you are going through, let's be real. You don't be thinking about no scriptures. You don't be thinking about Jesus, the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the angels. Let's face it, because that situation is so on you. You just don't feel like it. Why? Your feelings, your emotions, everything is involved.
So what you're asking me is, okay, what do you do in a situation like that? And I'll piggyback on that. That's why intercession is important, because if you sense it to the Spirit of God, someone is going to be praying for you until you at least can get in the place of saying, okay, Father,
yeah.
I need some help. Okay, that's why intercession is so important. And that's why when you're going through things at times and all of a sudden you feel like you've got this burst in you to just say, I believe I can make it, it's because someone is praying for you.
Ooh,
so at that time, you're able to pick up and go, I believe I'm going to make it. I believe that I'm going to make it. Now, what helps in the situation is this. If you begin to start in the scripture, just say, for instance, you Psalms 23. I'm going to say this, radio land. Don't get offended. Psalms 23 is not a funeral scripture. It is a prosperity scripture in all areas of your life. So just say you take Psalms 23 and you just meditate. The Lord is my shepherd. Make it personal. He's my shepherd. He's watching over me. So as you daily take a scripture and meditate, it will help you. This is what you call preventative medicine. It will help you. So when those times of going through come, you know what, which goes back to confession, glory to God, is that when you speak out of your mouth, the Lord is your shepherd, and then when that bill comes or this thing happens or that thing is taking place, you will begin, because the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance the things that he has taught you. But what he'll bring back to you is when you said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So when you're going through that financial situation, the word of God that you have confessed about the Lord being your shepherd, that's what's going to come back to you instead of the bill collectors calling you. Oh, yes, amen. They may be calling you 24/7, and that may be what you're hearing in the natural. But remember, you have got confession. You got the word in you to say, but the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is going to give me wisdom on how to pay this. He's going to show me and give me understanding. So what we're talking about is preventative medicine, just like when people go get preventative on a car or your body or whatever, you go ahead and start off little by little so that when those things do come, you'll have some word deposited in you, okay? Hello, that's deposited in you that you'll be able to make a withdrawal.
And
giving the Holy Ghost something to work with. One other thing is, along with the English words that we may speak and someone praying for us, you know, another tool, as you were saying, is the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost. My wife made mention of this scripture earlier. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, and it says itself, but the Holy Ghost is not an it. The Holy Ghost is a him. He is the third person in the Trinity. The Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So therefore, when we just, you know, like my wife said, you're being real, sometimes you're at that moment and you want to say something. And a lot of times it may be something contrary to what you've been confessing. But if you just close your natural mouth and just begin to pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit of God, he prays through us what needs to be prayed out. And so therefore, as we pray and in the Spirit, even though we may be praying and we're crying, or even though we're doing all that we can just to let the Spirit of God just minister through us, it's a perfect prayer, and it's not contrary to the Word of God. It's not contrary to the will of God for your life. Bottom line, oftentimes we can do our confessions and make our confessions, but the moment pressure gets on us, we speak something contrary to it. And it's like a thermostat on a wall. It can be 100 degrees outside, and we set the thermostat for 85. And then we turn around and set it for 90. and then we turn around and set it back at 85. Well, it's not going to stay consistent until you just leave the thermostat alone. So our words are our thermostat, or our words are our directional fiber. It's our GPS. If we're going to go down I-40 east, well, to go to, we're not going to go to Memphis, 40 west, go to Memphis. Well, if I'm going 40 east, I'm not going to get to Memphis. Because unless I change my direction. So unless I change my confession or stick with my confession that I've made before God, we've gotten off the path.
You know, something else on what you said was this, that I heard someone else say, inconsistency lies the power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, and patient, one of the definitions of being patient really is being consistent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. True. That's right.
And going back to what Tanisha was saying is that, you know, what happens when these different times come, you still have to just be consistent. We don't care what is in front of you. If you were doing your confessions when everything was great, you still want to do your confessions even though you may be at a different point right now. You've got to be consistent. You've got to be, because, see, I believe it's in Mark, it talks about the sower, sows the word, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, it's like when the storms and the trials and things come, what are you going to do? See, the enemy is not, it's not a personal thing. He's coming to take that word you've been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. He's coming to say, okay, now, when all your bills was paid and your marriage was good and kids went to Princeton and all that and Harvard, you were great, but what about now? If they don't go to college or this or that's happening, are you still going to allow the word to be important, or is it going to be like, it's not working, the word is not working?
Good. I mean, I just really encourage our listening audience to, this is so powerful. Please tag in and tag it into other people. This is beneficial. This is life-changing. The Spirit of God is in here, because I really just want to shout and tell you the truth. Hallelujah. So, Pastor Mark, I'm kind of off the questions because I'm gone. But when you were talking, there's a lot of people that listen, some of them are other faiths and everything. Could you kind of talk more about praying in the Spirit and being in the Spirit? And then I want to tag off, I'm going to get, not even say too much more, Pastor Patricia, if you can kind of, both of you, talk about tongues. That's foreign to some of the people in this audience. So can you load it? But I'm passing it to you.
Hey, I got the football.
You got the football? Okay.
Well, you know, it's like this. God gave man a language to communicate with him that bypasses the natural reasoning and the natural thinking of a man. That we do it by faith. That we believe that what we are praying and what the Spirit of God is praying through us. And not only does it bypass our natural reasoning and our natural thinking, it also bypasses the enemy, because he doesn't know what we are saying. It is our own private, personal language with the Father.
Yes.
Just like everyone has their own unique fingerprint, we all have our own unique tongue, so to speak. It's like perfect example. It's like a daycare, and a mom comes and is looking for her child. The first thing she does is listen for the sound of her child, because she knows her son, she knows her daughter, she knows what they sound like when they say mama or daddy, or if they just yell and scream because something scared them or they've been injured. They instinctively know, that's my child. I need to go. And that's what tongues is like. It is an empowerment that God, it is a gift, first of all. It is a gift given to man from God, Father. Jesus referred to him as this, the comforter. He said, I go, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the comforter. He's going to be in my place, and he will show you all things. The purpose of the Holy Ghost, the purpose of speaking in tongues, is to build your relationship with the Father. You know, when I'm in a crowd with my wife, I use one tongue, but when it's just me and my wife, I use another tongue. Same thing with praying in tongues. When we are praying in tongues, we are praying and we're ministering before the Father. We are allowing His Spirit to pray through us, but we are needing to pray. It's not so much us praying as it is the Spirit of God within us praying. And because He knows how to pray, the Spirit of God searches the heart of a man. He speaks out. He looks through the heart of a man and reveals and understands what needs to be prayed for that particular individual. You know, the Word of God says that we are all given the measure of faith. Well, according to that measure of faith that lies within me, when I pray in the Holy Spirit is looking for and edifying and rooting out and shining light on what God has for me. So therefore, as I pray in the Spirit, as I begin to minister before the Lord in the Spirit, as I allow the Holy Spirit to pray within me, I give the Holy Ghost free reign. Pray the perfect prayer.
Patricia, you?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Praying in tongues. Yes, you're right. It's an issue. But I want to go to a couple of scriptures. Let me say this first. We are a spirit. We live in this body, and we possess a soul. And one thing about speaking in tongues, I've heard a lot of negative about it. I've heard people criticize it. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking with other tongues, it is an empowerment.
Yes.
He empowers you. Now, I've heard people say, taught incorrectly, that if you don't speak in tongues, you cannot go to heaven. Let me just say this. When you got born again, that was important. That was the most important thing to ever take place in your life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an added, if you want to say, is an added empowerment. Because in John 16, it says, Jesus is talking, he says, I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. He said, but when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead and guide you into all truth. That's a part of praying in the Spirit and praying in tongues. He will lead and guide you to all truth. He will not speak his own message, but he will let you know about things to come. In praying in the Spirit, going back to Romans again, because the scripture is saying the Holy Spirit will make intercession. He will pray through us. Because in the natural, sometimes words, we don't know what all to say. But as the Holy Spirit gives us the utterance to pray, guess what, Radio Land? There is no distance in the Spirit. It really isn't. You know, but if you're in one room in the natural, you're not going to know if you have no TV, no radio, and you were just in the room and nobody came in there. You may not even know about this hurricane that's going on. Let's just say you didn't. You didn't know. But somehow you're praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, it just rises up in you to pray. But you've had no connection to know. You understand what I'm saying? The same thing with praying in the Spirit is that some people you may not know or situations fully, but yet you'll start, I'm going to pray for Sister so-and-so in the Spirit. Is something going on? And she may look like everything's fine, but yet the inner man is telling you, pray. And as you're praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is praying through you about her and about what's going on. And remember, Jesus told the disciples, he told them, wait. Go in the upper room and wait till you were being endued with power.
of, you know, you'll be endued with, and they waited. And that's exactly what happened. Glory to God. So they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yes, I believe praying in tongues is very important, because I believe that also in Corinthians it says that you pray mysteries. And you know what? Also, you can pray in the Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding of what you pray.
Hallelujah.
Oh, yes, amen.
Amen.
You can get understanding for what you prayed. You get wisdom. Things are revealed to you and unveiled to you because you want to know the root of certain situations. And say you're saying, okay, well, I prayed about this in English. I've done this. I've done that. But then as you pray in the Spirit, in tongues, the Lord begins to manifest and begin to show you and tell you exactly. You ever want to know what's behind something or the root cause of it? When you begin to pray in the Spirit, He begins to reveal and give you understanding of certain things. A lot of people are afraid of speaking in tongues. And really, you know what? The best chapter to really learn more is in Corinthians, because it tells you about praying in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads.
Wow. So powerful. Pastor Mark, do you have anything you want to connect with that statement?
You know, I've heard a lot of strange things about praying in the Spirit. I've heard that, you know, you pray in the Spirit too long, it'll make you crazy. Pray in the Spirit too long, or you get mixed up with that tongue stuff, you know, you go off the deep end. And truthfully, that's not true. And so when you hear that, that tends to make people a little fearful of praying in tongues. It tends to make people a little apprehensive. And, you know, it's like this. Oftentimes, the reason why when people have been praying for a while and for whatever reason, it seems like they may have gone off the deep end, it's because, you know, in the Word of God, it says that as we pray, the Spirit of God edifies us, okay? And in that edification process, it shines light in areas of our lives, and oftentimes areas of our lives that we've had hid and kept in the dark. But as we edify ourselves by praying in the Spirit, it shines light on those areas. And so when that light is shined, our emotions are kicked, and it causes us to react. And oftentimes that reaction is not a positive one, as opposed to allowing the Spirit of God to show us, okay, you have an issue in unforgiveness right here. And so, and you buried that thing. You haven't thought anything more about it. But as you've been praying, the Holy Spirit brings this thing that you buried and thought was dead to life. And so it kicks in all types of emotions. And so therefore, as these emotions kick in, you're wanting to go, no, I forgot that person. I forgave that person. No. But in actuality, you didn't. Mm-hmm. And so when you surrender to what the Holy Spirit has shown you and say, Holy Spirit, yes, I have unforgiveness in this area. I ask that you help me with this. I repent for having unforgiveness. And so therefore, you've given the Holy Spirit something to work on. And as you've given the Holy Spirit something to work on, He removes that hurt, He removes that pain, He removes whatever apprehension that you have in that area. And that is one less thing that the enemy can hold over your head. That's one less thing that your emotions can chime in on. And it also brings you that much closer to God, because our God is a holy God. And, you know, He's given us tools to cleanse ourselves, but we have to submit to that. You know, it's kind of like a little boy saying, his mama says, boy, I want you to go and get a bath. So he goes in the bathroom, runs the bath water, puts the soap on the side of the tub, but never gets in the tub.
Yeah.
But he's run the bath water.
Yeah.
But he isn't clean because he hasn't done the necessary thing. So I think that's one of the reasons why speaking in tongues has gotten such a bad rap. That and the fact that people, you know, the enemy understands that when we pray in tongues, it is for our edification. It is for praying the will of God, not only for our lives and for the mission that God has for our lives, because we have to understand that the mission that God has for our lives is not just suited for us, it is suited for everyone that we come in contact with. And so when we begin to pray in the Spirit and even intercede, you know, there's something interesting that I learned a few months back. You know, we're familiar with the story about the gentleman, I believe it's in Matthew, the gentleman who had his tree. The owner came and said, you know, this tree's been sitting here for a couple of years. We need to go ahead and dig it up. We need to pull it up. We need to get rid of it. But the husbandman, the one that was working the yard, said, no, let it alone. And so that husbandman actually interceded on behalf of that tree. And that's what intercession is. We intercede on behalf of someone else that may be going through, like my wife was saying, whether it be a loved one or someone across the water. Because there is no distance in the Spirit. There is no distance when it comes to the things of God. If you want to test in that, sincerely call on the name of Jesus. And know that he's there.
I was just going to say, we are blessed to have members from our church with us while we're taking live. And I was, she's burning with a question for the pastors. And so I just wanted to ask her to ask her question.
In regards to speaking in tongues, I just want to ask about, I've heard people who are Christians who are saved say that they've been waiting or, you know, asking for this gift of tongues for a long time. Can you expound on that and kind of explain that a little bit?
One thing that I can say with that, and to just reiterate your question, that you know people that are believers, but say, for instance, they desire to pray in tongues, but it's been years, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 years. The thing that I have noticed about people, some that desire to speak in tongues, is it's not anything with the head. It's not anything intellectual. And sometimes you really have to get your mind out of the way with it. Sometimes tongues can come just by simply that person praying and asking. And sometimes it does take, sometimes maybe someone laying hands on that person that they receive the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But whatever, they shouldn't give up about it and not the desire, because if they are born again and it is a gift, they shall receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But again, reading and studying more about it in the Word would help free them even the more. I've had people say that they desire to speak in tongues, and they was just at home, whether reading or praying or just walking around cleaning the house or just thanking God, praising God. I mean, if you just begin to praise God, I'm telling you, all of a sudden you'll be speaking. It's not a certain, quote, method. I mean, I mentioned someone laying on hands, but, I mean, I've known people that were just in the bed, and they woke up, and they were praying in tongues. Mm. So I want to say to you all that are born-again believers out there, like the question that came up, you know, do not give up. Do not think, well, maybe, oh, it's another thing. It's only for certain people. No. If you're born again, it is for you. It is a gift that God would want you to have. So don't get up, give up. And like I said, what I want to encourage you to do is read in Corinthians and read in Ephesians and read in Romans 8 to build yourself up, to get, like I said, your mind and your thinking out of the way. And another thing is, too, if you're in a place that does not endorse speaking in tongues, that also can be a hindrance to you.
All right. We have about 5 minutes left in the show. And I just want to give glory to God, because during the time that we have been here, we got a pop-up saying we had 250 listeners.
Glory to God.
So we just want to thank everybody for listening and tuning in. We are so blessed to be a members of World Covenant, where we're getting word like this each and every week. Our church is located in, we're in Brentwood, Tennessee. We worship at the Sleepy Inn in Brentwood, Tennessee. You can check out the website for Pastors Mark and Pastor Mark and Patricia Douglas at www.worldcovenantchurch.org. Again, www.worldcovenantchurch.org. We worship every let me turn it over to them and just let them give our times of worship on Wednesdays and on Saturdays.
On Sundays we pray at 9:30 to 10:30. Worship service starts at 10:30. Wednesdays at 6:30 we pray, and worship starts 7:15. And then one Saturday a month, the first Saturday of every month, we come together here at Sleep Inn at 1611 Galleria Boulevard in Brentwood at 10 o'clock the first Saturday of every month, and we pray. And we pray for an hour. We pray for everything, the nation, the government, everything. So right now, those are the things that we have going on.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much. And also, I want to encourage the listeners. Hopefully we'll be able to bring the pastors back and do further shows. We want to encourage also you to continue to listen to Soul in the City. You can archive old shows at I Am Enterprises. Mm-hmm. And listen, we want to keep bringing you interesting topics to help you, just give you the tools to make it in today's life and in society. So just, Lynn, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts is that what we're trying to do is inspire and empower you to be all that God calls you to be. We are aiming to have exciting guests just like we did, who are profound, who are anointed, and who will bring the word, just what we have. I want to use the last 2 minutes of the show to invite anybody. I'm going to leave it to Pastor Mark to invite somebody that Christ, that may not know him or the power. And if you need to have a relationship with God, we want you to call in at 760-695-1120. There is somebody here that can help you reach that relationship. So we got 2 minutes left in the show. I'm going to let Pastor Mark take us out in prayer and invite somebody to Christ.
Linda, in Ephesians 1 and the 13th verse, in whom ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth and the gospel of your salvation, in whom after also that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this program. I thank you for everyone that listened and that received from you, Father, that they are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and that your word is a final authority in their lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind and take authority over every demonic and satanic, and I declare that they are blessed, that they are the head and not the tail. In the name of Jesus, and all who agree, say amen.
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 Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being with us. We are proud to have our pastors, who are pastors, teachers, apostles. They're all of that. We're very proud of them, and I'm so blessed that they were on our radio program. Please, this program was so profound. If you archive and put it on your Facebook page, we want to get up to 1,000 listeners, because it's not about us. It's all about him and giving him glory. So we want to say goodbye. I'm saying goodbye, Tanisha. Goodbye. Have a blessed day. And remember, create with your words. The word of God is so powerful, and we encourage you to use it in your life daily. And we're going to let our pastor say goodbye to you guys.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you, Quentin. This is Soul in the City. Have a blessed day.